Welcome to today's deep dive. We really need to stop calling these things diet drugs. I mean, if you look at this 2026 analysis we are covering today, that label is just dangerously reductive.
Yeah, it really is. The research has totally pivoted. We are not just looking at weight loss anymore. We are looking at what scientists are now actually calling multi-organ stabilizers.
Right, because we're going way beyond just simple glycemic control for diabetics. These agents are effectively rewiring the heart, the brain's reward systems, and even sleep architecture.
Exactly. And the mission for this deep dive is to figure out how these drugs are reshaping human biology, and honestly, what the arrival of a medicated society really looks like.
Just to note for you listening, we are strictly pulling from the 2026 analysis today. There is a lot of politically charged debate around this topic, but we are not taking sides or endorsing any viewpoints. We just want to impartially convey the ideas laid out in the source material.
Right, so to get to the how, we really have to start with the biology.
Yeah, I was digging through the background on this, and the origin story regarding the anglerfish is just wild.
It is a great piece of trivia, but it's also scientifically relevant. Back in 1981, they isolated GLP-1 from anglerfish pancreatic islets. But the
The
problem,
reason you can't just inject it, right?
right, the reason we can't just inject natural GLP-1 is that your body destroys it almost instantly. It has a half-life of roughly 1 to 2 minutes.
Because there is an enzyme, DPP-4, that acts like a paper shredder. So the natural hormone is just a flash in the pan.
Exactly. The billion-dollar breakthrough wasn't discovering the hormone. It was chemically armoring it to survive that shredder for days or even weeks. And now we have graduated from those single mimics to dual ones like tirzepatide and the emerging triple agonists like retatrutide.
That is where the data gets complex. These triple agonists add glucagon into the mix. But isn't glucagon usually the hormone that raises blood sugar? It seems completely counterintuitive to give that to someone trying to manage their metabolic health.
It does sound backward. But in this specific chemical cocktail, glucagon isn't being used to spike sugar, it's being used to spike energy expenditure. It revs up the metabolic engine to burn fat.
So that's how they are hitting those bariatric surgery level numbers without the surgery.
Precisely. But the physical weight loss is almost secondary to what's happening upstairs in the brain.
The food noise phenomenon, I think this is the most relatable part of the data. People realizing they had a constant radio playing in their head about food, and suddenly someone just hit mute.
And that mute button is biological. It comes down to the dopamine theory. Highly palatable foods like sugar and fat hijack the brain's mesolimbic pathway. That is your reward circuitry.
They flood it with dopamine.
Right. And the GLP-1 receptors are sitting right there in those reward centers like the VTA and nucleus accumbens. They basically intercept the call and blunt that dopamine release.
So you eat the donut, but you don't get the chemical hit.
Exactly. And the analysis suggests this mechanism is broad. It is not just donuts. We are seeing these drugs curb cravings for alcohol and nicotine.
Even opioids, right? Which older DPP-4 inhibitors couldn't do. That is a massive deal for addiction medicine. But I want to pivot to the whole body effects because the sleep data in the SURMOUNT-OSA trial really surprised me.
It's a total game changer for sleep apnea. Tirzepatide reduced breathing interruptions by about 29 events per hour. For context, the placebo group only saw a reduction of 5.
And the report emphasizes that this wasn't just mechanical. It wasn't just a patient lost weight, so there is less pressure on the windpipe.
No, and that is the fascinating part. There's a neurological component here. These drugs seem to help restore circadian rhythms and reduce the brain inflammation caused by bad sleep.
It's a systemic repair. You see the exact same pattern in the organ data, too. The SELECT trial showed a 20% reduction in major cardiovascular events, even in non-diabetics.
Right, and then you have the FLOW trial showing a 24% reduction in kidney disease progression. We are even seeing resolution in liver conditions like MHH.
Hence the term multi-organ stabilizers. But biology rarely gives you a free lunch. The report flags a major physical risk regarding muscle and bone integrity.
The silent risk, yes. When you drop weight that fast, the body panics. You aren't just burning fat, you are catabolizing muscle. Patients can lose 15 to 25% of their lean muscle mass.
Which for an older adult is basically a prescription for frailty and falls.
Absolutely. That is why the pharmaceutical pipeline is now looking at combining GLP-1s with myostatin inhibitors, drugs that block the signal to break down muscle. We are trying to chemically engineer the perfect body composition.
Which brings us to the societal implication. The report uses the term social technologies. It feels like we're moving toward a world where health isn't something you do, but something you subscribe to.
It creates a form of medication tinkering. If these drugs become the norm for optimization, staying natural might be viewed quite differently. It reshapes our identity and increases weight stigma for non-users.
And that leads to a really provocative thought for you listening. With oral versions like Orforglipron making this as easy as taking a daily vitamin, are we actually solving chronic disease, or are we just creating a permanent dependency where optimal health is effectively a lifelong subscription service?
That is the heavy thought for the day.
Thanks for diving in with us.
Take care.